can make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Most of us have heard or seen all the various TV shows out there discussing insect bites and the dangers of parasites they carry. Monsters Inside Me is the scariest. There are vaccines out there, actually, to prevent and or fight some of these diseases. My next guest, Dr. Medlock, has some pretty interesting information that you may have never heard and will share about these vaccines. Dr. Medlock, let's start first of all with, what are the most common diseases we get from a bug bite that we may not even be aware of, you know, that bugs can do that to us?
Sure. So depends on who we is, I guess. If we as citizens of the world, and certainly it's malaria. There are lots of others. So the study that we're going to discuss is about dengue, which is a viral disease, causes flu-like symptoms. Yellow fever, for example, is another one. West Nile virus. Lots of tick-borne diseases, Lyme disease, and so on.
So let's dig into dengue. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever seen a case. I'm in Chicago, Illinois, so I'm not in the tropics.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about who gets dengue, what it does, what's the natural history of it, is it always fatal? What do we do with dengue?
Right. So it's, like you said, it's a disease of the tropics. Southeast Asia is ground zero, but there's also lots of dengue in South and Central America. We don't know so much about Africa, actually, but it's almost certainly there. It's a disease of the tropics. It's carried by mosquitoes. It typically causes flu-like illness, so aches, fever, that sort of thing. Makes you want to stay in bed for a week or so.
Is it fatal? I mean, is it a fatal disease, or is it
It's typically not. So good. If I remember right, the mortality is something like 1 in 100,000 or something like that.
Okay. So it is not even close to Ebola.
Close. Nowhere.
But initially, initially when someone presents to you with pretty vague symptoms, might they be confused for either?
Absolutely. And, like in Chicago, for example, I'm sure, I don't know that, it would be rare that you saw.
It's the first thing I think about. First thing I
right.
think about when anybody comes in complaining of muscle aches and a little fever, it's dengue, and then maybe flu.
Right.
I'm kidding. So let's get into your study. We don't have a lot of time. Tell me about your vaccine study and dumb it down a little for me.
Sure. So there are vaccines in development for dengue. So there's no licensed vaccine yet. And so the Sanofi Pasteur in particular has the one that's furthest along, and the efficacy hasn't been fantastic. So people are struggling to understand what that means, that we might have a vaccine that doesn't have great efficacy.
So explain that. So why would that get approved? Has it been approved? Or is it still in development?
It has not been approved. So they are currently in clinical trials. So I don't, to my knowledge, they haven't submitted it for approval, and it hasn't been denied approval. It just hasn't yet have the body of data to support asking for approval. Is my
now you talk a little bit. You talk a little bit about how. Introducing a vaccine can potentially actually cause initially more problems or more cases than it helps. Can you explain that and elaborate that phenomenon?
Sure. So it's a bit of a complicated phenomenon, but so there's two pieces to it. So one is that the mosquito populations fluctuate seasonally. In the rainy season there are lots of mosquitoes, in the dry season there are few mosquitoes. And that pushes transmission of dengue into the seasons where there are lots of mosquitoes. And then the second effect is called herd immunity. So it's the immunity of the whole human population. And as that starts to go up, as you start vaccinating people, as the herd immunity starts to go up, you slow down transmission, but you don't completely get rid of it. And what can happen is, so for example, you could have dengue cases, so an outbreak every year of sort of moderate size, and as the population immunity goes up, you could slow down transmission enough so that you don't get these outbreaks every year, but instead maybe every other year. And so you would have a similar number of people infected over the 2 years, but they would be crammed into the second year instead of spread out over 2 years. And in that way, you can have more infections, you know, in particular, like in a month in the middle of the summer and in 1 year, than you might have had before the vaccine was introduced.
I am completely confused by that. But,
sorry, I tried to.
No, is it a mathematical issue that's occurring? It's just how we're looking at it. And we can't see the big picture.
Well, so I'm a mathematical modeler. So we build mathematical models of dengue transmission, and then ask these questions of the model. And so, in a sense, yes. But you know, I'd much prefer to say that, you know, it's you know, sort of an accounting issue, you know, that this is something that might happen in the real world, and you know, the math just gives us a way to sort of write it down and think about it.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring up what's on everybody's minds, and you know what I'm going to ask. So just answer it without me even asking you. What am I thinking of?
I don't know. Are you thinking long-term
yes.
consequences?
No, I'm okay, thinking. Great. I'm thinking of what we read about in the headlines every 5 minutes when I turn on my phone or the TV.
The recent headlines.
Yes, the recent headlines, and because this is a live show, so what do you know about? So using your phenomenon, if we had a Ebola vaccine,
right.
Are you saying that we could be vaccinating and we still wouldn't see the benefit initially? It might take a year
or
two?
So the key, you know, one of the key pieces of this phenomenon is the seasonality and transmission that in the case of dengue is from the mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any mechanism for seasonality and transmission in Ebola. So, you know, I don't see that this phenomenon would occur.
It's not it. So it really depends on the disease itself, how it's transmitted.
Right.
Again, you said seasonality, whereas Ebola's person to person. We're not getting dengue from people.
Right.
As far
exactly.
as we know, we cannot transmit dengue to each other.
Yes, that's right. So there have been a few case reports. I mean, very few of possible transmission from mother to infant. During birth or perhaps inside the womb, but that's a very small number, so it's, you know, it's all
more of an exception than a rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
What can our listeners, we only have a few seconds left, what can our listeners do to decrease their, you know, if they can't get the vaccine yet, what can they do to decrease their risk of getting dengue?
Yeah, the classic stuff, you know, just do what you can to minimize your exposure to mosquitoes, you know, use repellent, wear long sleeves, long pants. You know, these are evening, you know, avoid exposure to mosquitoes in the evening, in the morning.
Where can someone read about your work, particularly, Dr. Medlock?
So our work was published in Epidemiology and Infection. You can read about it there, or if you'd like, you can go to my website. If you just search for my name, Jan Medlock, you can find my website.
Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic. Stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.